Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
And welcome to Today's Issues. The only thing is, it's not Tim Wildman, it's Ed Vitagliano. I will be sitting in for the boss today and tomorrow. And Lord willing, Tim will be back in the captain's chair on Wednesday. Joining me in studio is Walker Wildman. Walker, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you. And you know, in today's world, you can honestly just self-identify
as Tim Wildman,
and I think we would all accept it.
You'd
have to accept it.
Yeah.
That other voice chiming in there is Steve Jordahl, because Fred Jackson is out, Chris Woodward is out, and Steve is normally on from 11:05 to 11:30. We've got Steve Jordahl for an hour and a half.
We're dredging the bottom of the barrel.
No, you do a great job, Steve. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yeah, so I could self-identify, you guys are saying, as Tim Wildman.
Yeah.
Why stop there? I was going to self-say, why don't I self-identify as not AFA President Tim Wildman, but USA President Donald Trump? But
you know,
nowadays, who wants to be Donald Trump?
Yeah.
He is under an artillery barrage day in and day out.
Yeah, whatever you want to be today, Ed, I think we're all good with it. I mean, it's Happy Monday. Whatever Ed wants to be, we're good with it.
It's the day after my birthday.
There you go.
That's right. 60 years plus one day.
Congratulations.
And so now you got the...
birthday.
Oh.
People dying everywhere. I'm sorry.
I actually got a couple of birthday cards from some of our listeners. Thank you to those who... Who sent me a couple birthday cards. Somebody sent me a Pizza Hut gift card.
Nice!
Yep. So, very, very nice, and very appreciative. And those of you who remembered my birthday and sent me something, I will remember. And I will remember the millions of you who did not. Hey, we're having a lot of problems. We're having email problems, some internet problems. Why don't you tell our listeners why they might not be able to see us on Facebook and YouTube.
Yeah. Usually, typically, every Monday through Friday on Today's Issues, we live stream on Facebook, YouTube. I post the articles on Facebook. So you may not be able to access all of that today, but we'll try to do the best we can with what we got. I know Brent right now is probably working on getting the video up. We'll see how that goes. It's video's up and going, so you can watch the show on Facebook and YouTube, and we'll try to post all the articles there also.
So we've had this has been a real eye opener. I haven't been able to get email all weekend long. We've had some problems with our email. We were switching over servers and all that kind of thing. You just really don't realize how much you have come to rely on modern technology until you don't have it.
Yeah.
I had to talk to my wife this weekend. I couldn't get online.
The thing is if you have email down, it's one thing, but then you take down just the internet in general. Then you can't get email, you can't get Facebook, you can't get news sites.
Right.
So internet.
I was telling someone this morning, I said, this phone right here I have, all I could do on this was call people. Now, what's up with that? A phone where you can only use it to call people.
Yeah.
And that's what we all used to
have. Yeah, we didn't talk about it in our store meeting, but we might be able to spend the whole hour and a half just talking about the effects of an EMP bomb.
Yes, that's right.
We're only slightly affected with what that would be.
All right, Steve, let's not that there's anything going on in the world, let's talk about events happening in America and abroad.
Why don't we start with the passing of John McCain? Yeah. Senator John McCain passed away Friday, and it is let me give you the latest on what the arrangements are. He will be lying in state at the Arizona Capitol. And then he will be brought to the rotunda at the Capitol in Washington, where he will lie in state there. He will have a service at the National Cathedral, where according to his will, Presidents Obama and Bush will deliver his eulogy. Who was not invited? President Trump was not invited and reportedly will not attend the funeral for John McCain. The White House flag. There's been a flap about that today because Twitter.
No pun intended.
Well, maybe. Maybe I did intend it. You never know.
I just now got that. Yeah. Well played.
I'm pretty good.
it was lowered to half mast yesterday, but it is back at half at full mast today. And Twitter was all up in arms this morning, at least the feeds that I'm looking at, over how dare President Trump disrespect the memory of Senator McCain. But we were just talking here a little while ago. According to the law, the flag laws, it's supposed to be down when a senator passes away the day that he passes and the following day.
That's according to the U.S. flag code.
And it is.
He died on Saturday.
He died on Saturday? Okay.
He died on Saturday. I'm just going by, here by the Associated Press story.
And then down on Saturday and Sunday.
Code. Yeah.
And then back up today, which is what it should be. So, again, the media and probably the Never Trumpers making a news story where there isn't one. President Trump did tweet out condolences, but his tweeting has been sparse when it comes to the McCain thing. So, I don't know. It certainly is. This is taking on, as things do, a life of its own.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's no. I know in politics you sometimes grin and bear it, but Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, Senator John McCain had a bitter feud since the campaign, where there was some ugly back and forth. I think
McCain was a never Trumper.
He was a never Trumper, and I think President then candidate. Donald Trump, didn't he make a remark about John McCain's
yes.
wife?
I think that was Senator Cruz's wife.
Yeah.
Okay. But I know he talked about, he criticized John McCain's record in the military.
He said he wasn't a hero.
He didn't, a hero wasn't one that got captured.
Yes. Yeah. there's no pretending that, we're all letting bygones be bygones. I don't know what else President Trump can do when John McCain has made it clear he does not want the president at his funeral. And listen, John McCain was not as conservative as I would have liked. I don't want to criticize the man during the week where he's going to be buried.
You let President Trump do that for
well,
you.
Well, if I was President Trump, I would just let this go.
Which is really basically what he's done.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If President Trump were to, I guess, go beyond the standard and, you know, maybe keep the flag risen or lowered for, you know, 5 days or maybe tweet four or five times in John McCain's memory, I mean, that would be good. Nothing wrong with that. But then the critics would say he's trying to fake it.
Right.
You know, he was mean to John McCain and you can't hide that. So it's kind of a lose-lose. And in reality, President Trump has tweeted in honor of John McCain. They did lower the staff. I know the White House has done some press releases on this. So, you know, they've done their thing, and I think the critics are just looking for something, it seems, to complain about.
And they would
about.
Say that. If he pretended that if Donald
they were
Trump,
best friends.
That they were, you know, and that, you know, we're just going to let bygones be bygones, critics would say you're not being genuine. You hated the guy's guts. He hated you.
Yeah.
Now you're pretending.
And now you need to apologize for some of the things you've said about him.
Yeah.
So. Now then, there's the political angle. So John McCain, as you know, has been home recovering or battling his
brain
final
cancer.
Battle in Arizona, has not been in the Senate to vote for quite a while. And so it's been 49
since the beginning
to 50.
Of the year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a 50 vote,
beginning of
50 to 49 majority in the Senate now for that time. So Republican Governor Doug Ducey now has the task of appointing a replacement. He has said he will not announce who he's going to appoint until after the memorial services and funerals are done. But according to sources that I've heard, the leading candidates are John Kyle and Cindy McCain.
John Kyle, former
senator from Arizona, and Cindy McCain, of course, his wife. Not unprecedented for someone, the wife of a senator, to fill their shoes after they are gone.
Right.
We don't think that Martha McSally, who's in a competitive race right now, is going to get a nod. And we don't think that Kelly Ward, a fairly conservative candidate that is already out of that race, is going to get a nod either. The term that he will be appointed to because of the timing, he or she will be appointed to because of the timing of the death, will be through 2020. They will face election again in 2020.
So no special election
in
November.
Not a special election this November. Now, McCain's term ran through 2022, which means that at 2020, whoever wins 2020 will have to go again in 2 years, 2022, and then the seat reverts to its original calendar.
Hmm. Well, so that makes the appointment of Senator McCain's replacement fairly important. I mean, if there was going to be a special election in November and Governor Ducey, let's say, appointed Cindy McCain to fill, you know, up until November, then it's something of just a formality. This is a nice thing to do. Mm-hmm. But if Cindy McCain has 2 years right. in office, that goes a long way. This appointment then goes a long way towards selecting the next senator, because you're going to have 2 years as an incumbent. So this is will be a pretty important selection.
Yeah. Yeah, Ducey. And I think whoever the governor there picks will probably go along with the Republicans most of the time. But I'm looking at John Kyle, the former senator from Arizona, and I mean he's probably an establishment guy. I mean,
right.
he would be a status quo, kind of like a John McCain.
I think he's going to probably oppose President Trump in some things.
Yeah.
And I don't doubt that Cindy McCain, if she's the one, would
right.
take up her
and
husband's
so
mantle
she,
as
is she,
well.
Is she not pro-abortion, Cindy McCain?
I don't know.
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
She might be. I know Senator McCain didn't vote
right.
very pro-life. I mean, he was kind of in the middle there. But that this John Kyle, the former senator, it says his bio says he currently works in the lobbying group and law firm Covington and Burling, so which is probably a law firm in Washington, D.C. So these are the kind of people. And then Cindy McCain would probably continue the status quo that her husband left. But hopefully, maybe the governor will appoint a more conservative candidate.
Well, the governor himself, Ducey, is more conservative than McCain was. There are names that our reporter Chad Groding, who's looking after this right now, even as we speak, set out to me some other state politicians who may be conservative that are also on the list that I didn't bother taking down, because unless you're listening in Arizona, you probably don't know who they are.
You know what would be a good pick that would make conservatives and make the establishment happy?
Walker Wildman.
No, I wish, but I don't live in Arizona.
Oh.
But if the governor picked, you mentioned Martha McSally, right?
I did.
Earlier this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So Martha McSally is running for Jeff Flake's seat.
Yes.
In Arizona. So if the governor picked Martha McSally as the establishment pick to follow up McCain,
she'd kind of have a... Well, but then someone would have to step in for the
Dr. Kelly Ward's running against in the primary against McSally, and so you would have Kelly
Are they
Ward
all both still in the game. I thought that and
or
forgive
is that,
me for not
is that
doing
primary
this.
Over?
I think that the primary might be over.
Okay, well then my apologies.
But I don't know. I mean, that would check for me here.
Yeah.
But
well, let me just kind of clear a little something up. I'm just trying to do some quick checking on where Cindy McCain is. She says she is pro. This is from a 2008 interview with Katie Couric. This shows you how far back this goes. I don't know whether her opinions have changed or not since then. But she said at that time, this is right after the selection of Sarah Palin as John McCain's running mate against Barack Obama, that she said she was pro-life, but that she does not think Roe versus Wade should be overturned.
That's kind of thing where her husband was
yeah.
on that.
So,
not where Palin was, by the way.
No, that's true. So anyway, I just want to clear that up. Don't want anyone to misinterpret what I said, or I don't want to misinterpret Cindy McCain's view. So anyway, that's going to be interesting. Arizona is a very interesting state.
I think that primary is going on this week. Actually, that's what, according to Real
okay.
Clear Politics, it's happening this week, because the headline was Arizona primary to occur days after John McCain's death.
There
right.
you go.
Well, all right. So Arizona will be in the spotlight here over the next several weeks at least. And that's a state that is, you always wonder, like New Mexico, some of those states in the West, how long they'll, New Mexico, I think maybe blue, purple, whatever. What about Arizona? You know, mm-hmm. does Arizona stay red for a long time? So anyway, that's what's happening in terms of the state of Arizona here. In the wake of John McCain's death over the weekend, really just days after, maybe even the day after, it was mm-hmm. mentioned that he was not going to continue any treatments.
Yeah, usually after seeing this happen at times before where you have a terminal illness, usually when the doctors say or the family says we're stopping treatment, they probably know that the person doesn't have very long to live here. And but one positive thing is when it comes to judges, this will add another vote. Because Senator McCain, as we mentioned, has been out.
Did you say he's been out since the beginning of 2017? Has he been out that long?
No, because he voted down the Health Care Act.
True.
Remember, he came back. He's been in and out for a long time, but
yeah,
he came back for that.
It's been probably 8 months since he's been in Washington. So there's been 51. No, there's 50. Been 50.
50-49.
Yeah, so this will add another vote there that can help confirm Kavanaugh and others.
Right.
Which we expect that vote to come before the November election.
We are, at this point, still doing that.
By the way, I do want to say, to differ with President Trump, and I have no idea if he meant it when he said it, I do think John McCain was a heroic figure for most Americans because he was a POW and served his nation in that capacity and suffered at the hands of his imprisoners.
And the whole time he was suffering, never once did those videos that they wanted him or the film that they wanted him to tape condemning the U.S. for the war.
To criticize President Trump, there's no evidence to suggest that John McCain is anything other than an honorable veteran.
Right.
It's not like there's records of that contradict his actions. So,
and to the point that you agree or disagree with him, an honorable senator as well.
Right.
I mean, you might disagree with him, but it wasn't
his policy
positions. Yeah, he kind of stood his ground.
Yeah. All right, what's next, Steve?
Well, there was a tragedy again over the weekend, again in Florida. Man, they seem to be getting more than their fair share of this. This happened in Jacksonville. It was at an iGames tournament at a Chicago pizza place chain down there, and there was a shooting that left, according to two different reports. I have one says three are dead, one says two were killed, and 11 injured. The suspect, his name is David Katz. He's 24, of Baltimore. He had at least one handgun, and some say that he erupted in anger after his latest defeat at this Madden 17 or Madden 19 tournament. So it was a iGames tournament, so a bunch of spectators and professional video game players. He was one of them, professional video game player, playing Madden football.
Football.
He got angry. And this is what it sounded like.
It's going to be hard to get him on stream. It's
not
a lot.
It's not a tough out today. Excuse me, not an easy out. Oh.
Wow, that's... I don't even want to hear any more of that. That's absolutely frightening. Wow. So this guy, David Katz, he was apparently angry because obviously he's had something wrong with him before that.
And
he got angry because he got knocked out.
Yeah, apparently he was pretty hot-blooded when it came to video games. I just read, I haven't listened to it, so we're not going to play it, but they have an interview that they brought up from last year's tournament where they're interviewing him. Apparently... I'm going to be talking with some people who draw a parallel between violent video games and violent behavior. But, I had to myself step back years ago when I was getting a little too involved. It wasn't video games, it was sports. I remember when my Oakland Raiders lost a game, I pounded my fists on the coffee table and my kids went scattering and just scared everybody in the room. And I thought, this is too much.
Right.
I have just gone overboard. And at that moment, I decided it just wasn't important enough, and I dialed it back. Some people aren't able to do that.
Yeah, and at a minimum, it appears, do we know if he had just lost a game hours before or
something?
That's
what the report is. It's
not confirmed. Because that would make sense. I mean, I don't want to try to make something that's not here, saying that, he plays, deadly video games and that made him snap. But this, you can clearly see that it's likely that he lost a video game, which some of us would say, come on, that's petty. But to him, he viewed it as such importance.
That he was a professional video game player. He was getting money to play. This
so
is a
tournament. So he likely lost, snapped, went to his car, got the gun, and said, if I'm going to lose, I'm just going to shoot up this place.
So well, a lot of our listeners may not know that there are in various communities, I'm talking about gaming communities, there are professional tournaments.
And they're becoming more and more popular.
I know that StarCraft II has, I've watched some of those that are just fascinating. And these people are so good at these games. I mean, because they're professional, they play them constantly. That's their job, and they have to. But the thing that kind of strikes me about these kinds of incidences related to video games, and I know you're going to be talking to some experts on this topic later on today and this week to piece together some stories, but it seems to me that you're dealing with people with a certain stratum of individuals in our country who are not all there. They're not mentally well. They're not emotionally well. And I think that percentage of people can be affected by violent video games. Because the fact of the matter is, I don't play first-person shooters, but I know people who do, and they're just normal people. I don't think those kinds of people are affected. Same thing with movies. I always want to be careful that we put that these kinds of factors can contribute to and push people who are otherwise prone to violent outbreaks in the wrong direction.
Right.
But I always want to make sure we hold people personally responsible for their own actions.
It is a connection that people have been talking about since Columbine, because those two shooters were video game players as well. But again, there's not been any, you can't say this person, if you could, then you'd be able to get a handle on who's doing these shootings. And since Columbine, just shooting after school.
And that was a movie. There was a movie that there's Basketball Diaries. Was that, I think that Columbine, there was a scene where Leonardo DiCaprio went into a school with a trench coat and a shotgun and started shooting. And
maybe. I know that they correlated it with Hitler's birthday.
The point is you get these people who have squirrels in the attic already.
Yeah.
And then these games or these movies, I think, give them ideas.
Yeah.
And then the devil gets into their heads. And
and definitely we can all say that this was a matter of him not having any self-control and having anger issues, because this is according to one of the witnesses, and he said the guy's last name is Long, Javarius Long. He was a witness. He said that Katz, who is the last name of the shooter, got mad after losing in the elimination round on Sunday, left the venue presumably to retrieve the gun from his car, and came back in and started, quote, blasting everybody.
Well, another tragedy. I heard someone, I want to say it was the Kentucky governor, on a video that we're producing, I think.
Blevins?
Just a short, is it Bevins? Or
Bevins, yeah.
Talking about the fact, when I was growing up, he said, everybody had guns, in Kentucky.
Sure.
You came to school with guns in your pickup and all that kind of stuff. And he said, we didn't have school shootings. He said, something is off in America. With the individuals in the country, because these are things that didn't happen 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, anyway. Well, listen, a tragedy. This was in Florida, you said?
It was. Jacksonville, Florida.
Jacksonville, Florida. Another shooting and another tragedy. People not going home after a day doing something that should not have resulted in their deaths. So please be praying for the victims and for the community of Jacksonville, and be praying for our nation. Our country, as it says in Isaiah 1, is sick at heart. It does not seem to be a sound place on the entire body. So, anyway, Ed Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, Steve Jordahl, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, Mark Gregston is going to talk to you guys, our listeners, about being parents and grandparents who can leave a legacy. And some great stuff we heard Mark this morning in devotions. We'll be back in a couple minutes, folks.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. Frank Turek of Cross Examine.
The God of the universe is not inside the universe. He transcends the universe. Similarly, God's thoughts and design are in the universe, but he's not the universe.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News reporters. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Well, the last 2 years, we've just had tremendous response, early response to the announcement that we're going to Israel on a Holy Land tour. We're going March of this year. We go March of every year. Last year, we filled up like early fall, and I expect us to fill up early fall this year as well. So if you're interested in this March 14th through the 22nd tour, and you'll be going with primarily supporters of AFA and AFR, just get the brochure and check it out. You can call us today at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll mail you a brochure. If you simply want to go online, all the information is there. It's at twholyland.com, twholyland.com. If you want to go in March, we're filling up, and we're filling up fast. So check it out, twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. There's a shortage of decency in America these days. A group of leftists in North Carolina actually celebrated the death of John McCain. They chanted and cheered. Some of the pundits over at CNN and MSNBC piled on by taking cheap shots at President Trump and Sarah Palin, using a war hero's death to score political points. And some on the far right piled on, too. It's true that Senator McCain once called Trump supporters a bunch of crazies, and he called the Tea Party wacko birds, and he called evangelical Christians agents of intolerance. But in the end, none of that really matters, and neither does the power or the prestige. All that matters in the end is your family. And in those final moments just before he passed on to glory, John McCain was surrounded by his loved ones, no, not as a senator, but as a father and a son and a husband and a friend. Be decent, America. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Walker Wildman and Steve Jordahl, as well as a special guest in studio, Mark Gregston. He is the founder of Heartlight Ministries. It is a safe haven of hope for struggling teens. Mark has authored 12 books. He's written hundreds of articles about parenting teens in a difficult culture. He is the host of the nationally acclaimed radio program Parenting Today's Teens. That is heard right here on American Family Radio Saturday afternoons at 4:30 p.m. Central Time. Mark, welcome to the program.
It's good to be here, man. You ought to be on the radio. You had an amazing voice.
Oh, man, thank you. Now, cool. Mark is just trying to be nice because people accuse me of being OCD because I have my cough drops to keep my throat, you know, kind of lubricated, and I have them lined up in a perfect order, and he's messing with me. He's moving stuff around.
I know, but you're even folding up the Raptors.
I do.
The wrappers and lining them up there.
Yeah. It's just helps me keep control of my world because nothing else in my world is capable of being controlled.
You know, we've
these cough drops, they will fall in line.
We've gotten used to Ed. I mean, we know how to handle them and work with them to not send them over the edge. So.
Well, you know, there's medication for that, you know, that can help you out a little bit. So,
well, Mark, listen, you did devotions this morning. It was so, so good. Let me just say the best line I ever heard about raising teenagers. I have a 35-year-old daughter and a 29-year-old son who's married. I have a couple of grandkids. Best line I ever heard. Because my daughter, we butted heads. She was strong-willed like I was. I'm perfectly compliant and obedient to the Lord now. But anyway, best line ever.
OCD.
Yeah. no CD. As best line I ever heard was, being in the same house with a teenage girl is like being locked in the trunk of a car with a Wolverine. Best line I ever heard, and that's what it was like. So
probably, yeah.
You're a grandparent now.
Yeah, yeah.
So talk to our listeners a little bit about Heartlight Ministries, why you have a heart for teenagers. You're a grandfather now. You're not going to just forget about teens?
No. I live with 60 high school kids that come from all over the country. And so kids who are struggling, kids that are no different than yours or mine or anybody's. They're great kids, but they're struggling and trying to figure out how to take these principles and scripture and everything and apply it to their life because they feel like God has disappointed them in some way. And these are, I mean, they have great parents and they know scripture, but just something tragic's happened. They're making poor decisions, but they're also living in a culture that you and I have said that we're glad that we don't have to grow up in. Mm, but our right. kids do. And so we've got to be there to help them in some way. So now I spend a lot of time traveling, helping parents understand what's happening in the culture and how we can counter the effects this contrary culture is having on our kids. And I don't want to say this sadly, but I'm just getting old enough that now I'm speaking to grandparents because I are one. And I have a 17, a 13, a 7, and a some other age. I don't even know. I don't even know the other one's age.
You be careful now because that can come back to haunt you.
Oh, I know. But, I mean, I love this grandparent.
These are your grandkids,
thing.
the age of your grandkids.
Yeah. And so it's been neat to see how grandparents can be involved, but how much they're needed into their lives.
Yeah.
To be involved into the lives of their kids and their grandkids, not as another parent, but as a grandparent. And I think sometimes people forget what that role is.
Mark, talk to this situation. So you have, let's just say hypothetically, you have parents, then you have teenagers, and at times the teenagers don't always do what the parents would like them to.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking day to day. I'm just talking about where they choose to go in life. Talk to the parents who are struggling with having, I guess you could say, a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter, who you thought you raised them right, but then they don't seem to be following the right footsteps.
Well, you know, it's interesting that they may not be following the right footsteps, but they may be following their footsteps and making poor choices along the way. But I don't want a child to be pushed out of the circle of what we want for them just because they long and desire something different. I may want them to be an athlete. They want to be a dancer. Hmm. You know, somebody wants to be a scholar. This other child may want to be an artist. And so the tendency is the rub is between those two desires start to hit each other. Then a child starts to spin out of control because they don't feel accepted. They don't feel loved. They don't feel like that somebody's engaging with them. And so they start making poor choices. And my point of it is that every child, whether there's a demand for a child to be perfect and they're motivated by their behavior, and a child on the other side that has inappropriate behavior, some of their motivations may be the same thing. One's just appropriate, the other inappropriate. And you have to deal with those things. But the tendency is when a child starts making bad decisions and bad choices, then we don't like them as much. Mm-hmm. We don't really embrace them as much. And that is something that we've got to tell them. When I have every right to walk away from my child, I've got to be moving toward them. And that's called grace. That means that I'm going to continue to love you regardless of your choices. And usually it's that love that draws them back into relationship with you. The relationship is what changes people. It's not rules. It's not consequences, even though those are important. Mm-hmm. But it's the relationship that somebody has. Mm-hmm. And so to parents that have that prodigal, I go, you've got to set those standards, yes. But it's to embrace them and keep them within the family because it's your relationship with them that will change them.
Mark, let me go back to you talked about grandparents and grandparenting.
Yeah.
Are you of the school where it's okay to spoil them, sugar them up, and give them back? Or do you think that grandparents should be stepping in and making up for the discipline that the grandparent thinks that the parents aren't doing correctly?
I'm the former and not the latter. You know, I don't think I don't think that I should be as a grandparent, one who's correcting my grandkids. And I don't. They come in, whatever they're wearing, I don't say a word about it. Whatever, it doesn't matter whether I like it or not. I am to create for them a place of rest. I mean, Jesus said, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and you will find rest for your soul. Well, parents have to do the discipline thing. They have to engage and give guidance and direction. They've got to be the tough guys. I want to be the loving one in this thing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to butter them up and spoil them and ruin them, but I do want them to know that I am there for them, to encourage them. They're going to feel rested. They're going to feel like they have somebody in their corner, somebody watching their back, somebody that will give them everything, even though they're entitled to nothing. You know, I want them to know that I am there for them and I can speak wisdom in their life, but I'm not going to spend my time correcting them. I want to keep that relationship more than anything else.
Yeah.
We're talking to Mark Gregston, who's founder of Heartlight Ministries, and we're going to give Mark, before we're done with our segment with him, an opportunity to talk about his ministry. But if you want to look on his website right now as we're speaking with Mark, it is heartlightministries.org, correct?
Yes.
Heartlightministries.org. The reason Mark is in studio with us, he is visiting us here at American Family Association, because later on today, I guess maybe this afternoon or something, you will be recording, we'll be videotaping a Cultural Institute, which is what we call kind of our video series on various topics. What is that topic going to be? Is that about parenting and grandparenting?
It is about parenting and grandparenting and shifting your parenting styles to accommodate the needs of your kids, which means that parents have got to shift their styles. It also means that grandparents have got to know their role. I mean, our kids don't need another set of parents any more than I need my wife to be my mother. Right. You know, I don't need that. I need something different. Everybody has their role, and as long as those roles are being played, then I think everybody begins to understand the importance of what they're doing in the life of their teens.
Yeah.
Let me, and we'll probably bounce around a little bit.
Sure.
Something you said earlier kind of triggered a question. I wanted to come back to it. You're talking about parents in response to Walker's question about a prodigal. So it seems to me that one of the ways this can go bad, and you were talking about this, maybe you didn't use the word rejection, but if a parent starts to feel like, okay, I taught this kid right, this kid, he's not responding, he's making bad choices. You said, I don't like this kid as much. That kids will pick up on that. Kids will pick up on that, and rejection, on top of everything else, rejection enters in because, man, if there are people in life that you should be able to count on, it's your parents. And if they start to act like, I don't like you anymore, kid, it seems to me that rejection comes in. Man, that can scar a kid and make them bitter and make them even more rebellious.
Yeah, okay. I was driving here last night. I'm coming down whatever highway it is from Memphis, and I get a flat tire. I mean, it's just slowly leaking, and it's going down. And so it's interesting to me that I'm on the right highway, and there's cars all around me, and everybody's treating everybody nice, and it's all working well. But then something happens, and I end up having to pull off. I pull off and find a lighted area where there's trucks, you know, big 18-wheelers, and I'm sitting there, and everybody's just driving by, and I'm off on a vacant lot sitting there with a flat tire. I'm needing help. I'm not so sure what I'm supposed to do. I call the rental company, and they're going, well, you're going to have to wait till tomorrow. I go, what do I do, camp out in my car, know, on the highway? And I sat there, and I thought, so as I was sweating, you know, jacking up the car and scratch the side of the car and getting the tire off and everything else, nobody stopped for me. Nobody. Nobody came and looked. A couple of trucks drove by and I just sat there. And I felt the sense of loneliness and maybe a little bit of rejection that as long as I was on the highway, if you're picking up what I'm saying, then everything's okay. But I pulled off because something went wrong. And when I pulled off and nobody came to me, there was a sense that I was by myself, and I said, okay, I'm going to have to do this on my own. And I think we interpret a lot of prodigals that way. They're on that highway. They're doing well. And all of a sudden, they get off that highway, and we get the idea that well, I'm not going to stop and help. And so now they're left to fend for themselves, and they do, but they're not being rebellious. They're lost. or maybe something's happened to them. And I think that's where we've had that idea that if you don't follow this path and do this, then you can't be a part of the game. But I tell you, I haven't met, out of the 4,000 kids that I've been, you know, just intensely involved with, I've only met maybe three or four rebellious kids. Mm. I've met kids who are lost. We all say we don't want to be raised in this culture. Well, our kids have to be, and they're getting lost. And if that's true, that means I need to go after the lost. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. But, I mean, I am sure those people going down the highway didn't even think about me. They didn't even look in my direction. They really didn't pay any attention.
Help walk us through the balance between keeping a relationship with a child who you don't agree with their behavior.
Yeah.
Keeping that relationship, not pushing them away, but standing firm on what you think is right and wrong.
Well, I can say,
when it comes to behavior.
Oh, absolutely. I can still stand on what is right and still let them be a part of my family. I mean, it's the tendency used to be, if you got pregnant, we're sending you off somewhere else. If you're doing something that I don't agree with, then you can't be here, and we're going to eliminate you from the fold. Somewhere along the line, then we miss our opportunity to engage with a child and to help them at the time that they need us the most. When my son called and said, "I'm having an affair, I am divorcing my wife of 9 months," and the first thing I said was, "Well, when you call her father and tell her how you messed up her life, then I'll talk to you." Mm-hmm. So we went 6 months with no communication. He lived at a rotten hotel, you know, and everybody rejected him because they weren't going to accept his behavior. Nobody loved on him, and so he started handling things on his own. And finally, somebody looked at me and said, "What in the world are you doing?" And I sat there and I thought, what am I doing? So I called my son and I said, "I need to ask for your forgiveness. I can still love you. I am sorry I have abandoned you." And that's the tenets. It's grace. It's moving towards someone when we have every reason to walk away. And so the tendency is I can still hold to what I believe, but I can still love them in the process. That's where we have a hard time, is saying, how do I do both? And it's I can do that. It doesn't mean that we have to be divided and we can't hang out with each other or spend time. Because if I eliminate myself from the equation, then there will be nobody there to speak truth into a child's life when they're lost and need help getting back on path. There's no different from the coin that rolls away or the sheep that goes astray. I don't go shoot the sheep, right. You know. I go after the sheep and bring them back, mm-hmm. You know, and that's how we need to engage.
Mark, what's the? This is an issue we're seeing more of, even in our church culture. What's the one rule, one thing you want step parents to know?
You know, I think one is that they hold a very important place, but they also truly they also are in one of the toughest positions that I have ever seen any family member be a part of, because they have a tendency to. Just by their presence, to remind a child of the loss the child has gone through. It's like every time I see Skittles, it makes me mad because I know that because of a kidney disease I have, I can't eat M&Ms with peanuts, and that's the greatest candy in the world. And so when I see Skittles, it makes me mad of what I can't have. And sometimes when a child sees a step-parent, it reminds them that a dad isn't there or a mom isn't there, or it could have been different, or I'd hoped, or I wouldn't be messed up if this thing didn't happen. You know, it's that kind of thing. I think kids live in that fantasy. And so it's just helping step-parents understand you will bring out that part, and you've just got to talk it through. You've got to work it through. You've got to engage. Even if a child, you know, kind of rejects you in the process, at some point, just keep moving toward them regardless. I mean, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, keep moving toward them and you'll eventually break through.
Our guest has been Mark Gregston. He's founder of Heartlight Ministries. Tell our listeners about your ministry, the website, what they're going to find there, and about your radio program on here on AFR.
Well, Heartlight, I mean, we're a residential counseling center for struggling teens. We have 60 high school kids that live there with us, with a staff of 40. We deal with kids who are struggling, that aren't going to be around if somebody doesn't intervene. And so they come and live with, and they're literally from Canada and Mexico and all over the U.S. from every kind of background you can think of. Good kids from great homes, but they're struggling. So they live with us, and we help get them back on track. They live with us for about a year. Out of that has come seminars and conferences and family in crisis conferences and books and everything else. And they're just parenting tools and now grandparenting tools that are helping people kind of figure out this culture and how to engage with their kids. And so we partnered with AFR, I don't know, almost 12 years now, which is hard to believe. And it's been wonderful to take what we've learned from these kids living with us and helping parents apply those to and maybe add a few new parenting tools to their parenting toolbox.
Well, Mark, thank you so much. I just love listening to you. This is wisdom, obviously, that God has, and you explained kind of the brief explanation, I should say, of your testimony, whatever you want to call it, of how you got into this. Mm. It's so clearly what you're called to do, and God has shown you things over the years. I just loved listening to you here the last few minutes. Thanks for being on with us.
Hey, you bet.
God, may God bless your ministry even more, because there's so many young people that need the ministry, the type of ministry. Who knows who will be inspired to do the same thing?
Wow. And my prayer for you is that nobody will mess up the lineage of your cough drop.
Well, you keep mentioning it, and someone's going to come along and do it.
I know.
I'm okay with that.
I know.
And by the way, you said this morning you're talking about your grandkids. You've told your kids. I tell the kids the same thing. I can't remember loving you guys as much as I love these grandkids. Mm-hmm. I always tell them I'm just kidding. But in a sense, when you're raising your kids, you're eagle-eyed. Don't do that. Don't run with scissors. You're always, did you do your homework?
You're making
sure. But you don't have to do that with grandkids.
Well, grandkids are a reward for not killing your own kids. And so, I mean, it works out really good.
Thank you, Mark.
You bet. Thanks.
And folks, as I mentioned earlier, Mark is here with us at American Family Association. American Family Studios will be filming Mark later on for one of our Cultural Institute series. He'll be talking about parenting and grandparenting. And man, it is the wild, wild west here in which our kids are growing up. Things that it's hard to believe. In fact, I heard Mark this morning on Sandy Rios. He was on with Sandy this morning talking about how when I I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, the amount of information in the world was doubling every 30 days. And he said now, he said, it doubles, I don't know, something like every 30 seconds. And he said in a year or two, it'll be instantaneous doubling of information available.
Yeah.
I mean, just talking about how things have changed so rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we tease you, Walker, because you're younger. And when Tim and I or Fred or Steve are sitting around talking about the good old days, you're going, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
But things are changing so rapidly. I'm sure they've changed for you. You've now, you're a parent.
Yeah.
You know, and things have changed from when you were a young man in high school, for example. So lots of challenges, but God raises people up to help meet those challenges.
Yeah.
And Mark Gregston and Heartlight Ministries are one of those. Mm-hmm. So
that's exactly right.
All right, we've got a few minutes before the next break. Steve, I doubt you've got anything for us to talk about, but
why don't we talk about something that's breaking right now, which is that President Trump is announcing that he has reached a new NAFTA deal. He's not going to be calling it NAFTA, but a new deal, a trade deal with Mexico. And he hopes that Canada will also join the discussions now that this has happened with Mexico. Included in this, apparently, reportedly, is a new deal on automobiles. It's to the U.S. favor. The markets are going crazy. The Dow right now is up 227 points. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ both closed at record highs on Friday, and they are also up double digits in strong markets. So in the middle of the worst news that Trump could possibly get last week with regard to the investigations and court cases, and does he like McCain or is he going to be at the funeral, he's doing deals.
This is absolutely amazing. And I don't care where you are politically. If you can't look at this and say this is impressive, then you got a blindfold on. Because I'm watching Fox News right now. President Trump is sitting in the Oval Office. The Dow's up 230 points in the last 5 minutes. And he has the Mexican president on the phone, and they're doing a live press conference about how good this NAFTA deal is, and it's going to help our farmers, and you said the automobile industry, and they're one of our biggest trading partners,
right?
Them in Canada. So this is amazing that he's worked out a deal in about 12 months with Mexico, and he was criticized over and over again because, you know, he's souring the relationships with these countries, blah, blah, blah. But here you go. He's worked out a deal with the Mexican president.
It really is phenomenal. And what's phenomenal, kind of to go with what you're saying as well, Steve, is that it's hard to believe he can get anything done other than to focus on the Mueller probe and who else he's going after next and who's going to be granted immunity next. We'll probably get to some of these stories. But behind the scenes, he's doing presidential stuff, and he's almost beyond belief, sad to say, doing exactly what he said he would do on the campaign trail.
No, he's that's what he consistent. Said he would do. There's a dirty rumor out there that every time he tweets and gets all the media and culture and everybody and the politicians angry at him and talking about this thing over here on the right or the left, his other hand is doing the deals, as being president. So,
yeah.
Well, we'll find out more about the details of this new NAFTA deal. Here is, I'm very impressed with the leaders of Mexico, Trump is saying. I'm looking at Fox News, and they type out a kind of caption about what he has just said. So, you know, this is to the point that both of you guys are making. He says things and gets into these tiffs with, like, the leaders of Mexico. I remember seeing a picture of the president of Mexico making an obscene gesture to Trump.
Yeah.
You know, these
this
guys,
is the new socialist right. president of Mexico.
So you see that and you go, wow, nothing's going to get done here. And what happens is, at the end of the day, both these leaders want what's best for their own people.
Yeah.
They talk behind the scenes, and then they're big buddies. That's kind of the nature of politics. But we'll find out more about the details of this deal. But it looks like it's going to be a good thing for the U.S. economy.
Yeah, and here's what President Trump does is he plays tough. He does these tariffs, which I'm not sure how much he did on Mexico, but he's done some with Canada and the Europe. But he does these tariffs, and in the interim, when there's no trade deal and there's tariffs and U.S. Companies are hurting, farmers are hurting because
right.
soybeans are, you know, to China, they got a tariff on them. So all this is going on. Well, you know, 12 months of these tariffs and playing hardball with these foreign countries has paid off to where we're not stuck with the same old deals like NAFTA.
Yeah.
You know, President Trump took the political risk of renegotiating, which is not fun in the meantime because people are kind of left out to dry when it comes
right.
to what the future is going to look like. But President Trump settled on a deal, and I think it's gonna help.
Well, to just kind of encapsulate what we've been saying here for the last few minutes is we are watching President Trump right now on the Fox News feed. He is speaking live. This is still live, right, Steve?
Yeah.
So live. President Trump is announcing a new NAFTA deal. Did you say this is also with Canada, or is this primarily
Mexico? He wants Canada.
Mexico?
He's going to reinvite Canada. It's not going to be called NAFTA anymore.
Right.
But whatever they call the deal, he's hoping that Canada reengages. They have been out since July, I believe.
Yeah. All right. All right, folks. We're going to take a five-minute break for news. You are listening to Ed Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, Steve Jordahl here on Today's Issues. We will follow tomorrow, I'm sure. We'll have more for you on this show about the new deal. I'm calling it the new NAFTA deal because I don't know what else to call it at this point. We'll probably have some sort of name by tomorrow. So anyway, we're going to take a five-minute break for news, and when we come back, we will hit more stories that are happening here in the good old U.S. of A. and abroad. Maybe some war drums with Iran. We'll talk about that story when we come back. 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.